So would you turn to, once again, the book of James, James chapter 4. James chapter 4. I want to talk in the next few minutes about plans. I want you to think about your life. Consider your life. Did you ever think you'd end up here? Were you ever able to at some point look into the future and say, you know what, in 5 or 10 years, I'm going to have this job, and I'm going to be married to this person, and I'm going to have these children, or I'm going to be single, or I'm going to... Were you ever able to do that? Every day we make plans, yet our plans are so fragile. And here, James is telling us that the wise are willing to change their plans. Better than saying it that way, the wise are willing to change their plans. The wise are willing to exchange their plans. They're willing to give their heart's desires, their plans, and their future, and even their present to God and say, God, whatever you want with my life, today or tomorrow, I give it to you. Whatever you desire for me, today or tomorrow, I bend my will, my plans, my desires to you. Lord, what do you want for me today? What do you want for me tomorrow? And so James is telling us here, the wise man, the mature, godly individual, man or woman, will take their own desires, their own plans, their own thoughts, and say, God, whatever you want, I'm willing to give my plans, my heart's desires to you. Look at verse 13. He says, come on now. Come on now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Now, before we move on, I want you to move over to chapter 5 really quick. And I want you to see how this section here, beginning in verse 13 of chapter 4, is connected to the first section of chapter 5. Do you see that same phrase, come on now, or come now? You rich. It says, chapter 5, verse 1, come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. So in chapter 5, we're hopefully going to have time to get there. He's going to say, all right. In chapter 5, he's going to take us into the future. The man who lives to accomplish his own plans, the man who lives each day trying to plan and make his life, you know, and live his life for his own way, his own heart's desires. In chapter 5, he's going to take us into the future. He's going to say, now let's take a look at the man who lives to fulfill his own heart's plans and desires. What will happen to him? So wouldn't you love to look into the future and see what would happen to your life 5, 10, 15, 20 years into the future? This is what James does for all of us in chapter 5. He's going to say, all right, I'm going to take you into the future and see what the end of your life's going to be if you live each day with this in mind. If you get what you want, if you gain the whole world, if you plan and you scheme and you get your heart's desires, you become rich and wealthy, and everything that you looked for in life, you finally get it. What will be the end of your life? What will be in store for you? And it's going to be very sobering. So let's go back to chapter 4. First of all, let me finish chapter 4. We read only through 13. I'll just, for the sake of this, read through it again. Come now, you who say, later it's going to be the rich, okay? Today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. The very first thing we see here in verse 13 is life plans or goals reveal life's priorities and purpose. And we see the heart of the fool. You see, what does the fool live for? Profit, the priority of profit. Did you see that? This person who says, come on, or he says, come now, you who say, who are going to plan. And what's his plan? To profit. Did you see that? He says, today or tomorrow we will go into such a town. And what does he do? He's spending a year and trading his time, his talent, his treasure, his toil for what? To make a profit. And many people live for the priority of profit. They're willing to spend their time, their treasure, their toil, for what? For personal profit, the priority of profit. The fool's willing to spend time and treasure, or trade time and treasure for profit. What profit? He will spend or trade time and treasure for the treasure of money, the treasure of possessions or things, the treasure of comfort or pleasure, the treasure of security, the treasure of notoriety. That is what the fool does. He says, there is something I want. I want to profit, and I'm willing to spend my days. I'm willing to spend all my treasure in order to receive profit, something I see as valuable. The question today is, what are you willing to trade your time for in order to get? Well, Jesus asks this question in Mark chapter 8, verse 36. He says, what does it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his own soul? And again, in chapter 5, we're going to see the person who lived his life. He planned his life. His purpose of his life, the priority of his life, was to gain treasure, and he does it. He becomes rich. And Jesus already warns us. He says, let me ask you a question. What if you get what you want? What if you get what you want? Where will that get you on Judgment Day? And so here, Jesus again, he warns us, what's going to happen? What are you willing to trade your life for? Proverbs 23:4 says, do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. You hear that? So in Proverbs, it says the wise man, the book of Proverbs is all about wisdom. It says the really wise man, if you are living to gain profit, again, there's the profit of money, possessions, security, pleasure, notoriety, finances, whatever it is. It says if you're living for that, you're a fool. It says stop. Desist. Don't do that anymore. Again, what does Scripture say? There's a way that seems right to a man. He knows where he's going. I know that's the way I should be going. That's the destination I want to get to in the end. That place of peace, security, comfort, profit. That's where I'm heading. God says, there's a way that seems right in a man, but at the end of that road, is destruction. God's plan for your life is that you would produce fruit. And that's what our theme of the year is, right? Here is that we would produce fruit. Not for our own benefit, right? But for the benefit of others. Are you living for the benefit of others or your own benefit? We need to have the priority of productivity, not profit. What are you producing of value? What are you producing of value, not gaining in value? The wise priority is productivity and fruitfulness. And we learned that in John chapter 15. If you remember our series in John chapter 15, the five keys to a meaningful life. The secret of living is what? Productivity. Your purpose is to produce fruit. Jesus said, I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. That what? It may bear more fruit. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should bear fruit, and that fruit should abide, and whatever you ask in the Father's name, he may give it to you. See, the priority, the wise man, lives to produce fruit. We talked about all the fruit, and we won't go into that this morning. But in verses 14 and 15, we see the result of man's plans. We see, first of all, in the first part of verse 14, they are futile, useless, or pointless. In this phrase, you do not know what tomorrow will bring, right? You have no clue. You can plan a perfect picnic, but God plans the weather, right? So first of all, we understand that man's plans are fruitless because they are futile, useless, pointless. The next thing we see in the second part of verse 14 is they are frivolous. They have nothing of true value or serious purpose. They need to be exchanged. And we see that in this question, what is your life? What is your life? I want you to, he's saying, really think about it. What are you spending your time on? How valuable is that time? Is your life really something you want to trade or spend on getting this? Your life, your time is of more value than what you're trading it for. So we see your life. You need to consider your life. Is it frivolous? Well, if you're trying to trade it for profit, you're treating it as frivolous. The fool also, their fruit is fleeting, or their life is fleeting. You see this in the last part of verse 14, where he says, you are a mist that appears for a little time, then it vanishes. And then finally, you see in verse 16, man's plans are fruitless because they are foolish. He says, you boast in arrogance. You see, your arrogance exposes what? Your ignorance. That's why it's foolish. In verse 17, the first part, he says, he knows the right thing to do and fails to do it. He rejects. It's foolish because he knows what is right, yet he refuses to do it. And what is the wise person? Somebody who takes knowledge and rightly applies it. He knows what's right to do, and he does it. He's not just a hearer, as chapter 1 of James says, but he's a doer. He's the wise man. And so here, somebody who lives their life for profit, personal gain, is a fool. It's foolish. And finally, verse 17b, it is fatal. It is fatal, and we see that very clearly. It is sin, and what does Scripture say? What is the just earning of sin? Of all those things you're trading for, what will you earn from your sin? The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. So A man who lives for profit, his plans are fatal. But look at verse 15. We find the Lord's plans. What are the Lord's plans here? The Lord's plans are faultless. The Lord's plans are faultless. Let me read once again verse 15. Verse 15. Instead, see, your plans are what? Your plans are futile, frivolous, fleeting, foolish, and fatal. So it's time for a change of plans, right? Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do or do that. Why? Because his plans are perfect. The wise live not for their own plan, their own purpose. They live for the will of God. Look at Proverbs 16:9. The heart of a man plans his ways, but it is the Lord who establishes his steps. It's not frivolous. It's not futile. It's not fleeting. It's established. Why it's time for an exchange of plans. Look at Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is what? The purpose of the Lord that will stand. If you want your life to have meaning, purpose, fulfillment, stability, give him your future. Give him today. Give him your plans. Give him your priorities and say, God, whatever you want for my life, I'm willing to work to accomplish your will, your plan, your desire, no matter what I have to give up in exchange for. I'm willing to trade. I'm willing to spend all my plans, all my priorities, and give them to you. I'm willing to trade those for something of greater value because I see that my plans are futile. And finally, they're fatal, right? The end of a man's plans and pursuit, we said, the wages of man's sin. Would you look at James chapter 5, verse 1. So now we look into the future. Here's the man who refused to exchange his plans. He said, you know what, I'm going to get up and I'm going to plan my life. Each day is going to be I'm willing to spend and trade my time, toil, and treasure to get profit. And James is going to say, all right, let's go into the future. Let's see the guy who got everything that his heart desired. He says here, come now, you rich. All right, you got it. You've arrived. Come now, you rich. Weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. It's opposite to the James's brother, Jesus's teaching, right? To lay up treasure in heaven. Right? But here's the man who laid up treasure on earth. He says, it's your treasure that's going to be called to the witness stand in the end. It's going to be your clothing and your garment and the people that you've abused to get what you want, the people you've used. And on that last day, the things that you thought were your glory are going to be your shame. The things that spoke to you as a wise and a great man on earth are going to be called as witnesses against you on the day of judgment. Even your gold will cry out. Even your silver will cry out. Even your clothing will be called as evidence against you on the day of judgment. Behold, he says, verse 4, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you have kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He, or the Lord, does not resist you. So what is the end of the man here who gets what he wants in the end? Verse 1,
What are the wages of his life? What will be what he is paid at the end? Weeping, howling in misery. Verse 3, judgment. Look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. It says this, "And he said to them, 'Take care, be in guard against all covetousness.'" This is the words of Jesus. "For one's life does not consist in the abundance of" what? "His possessions. And he told them a parable saying, 'The land of a rich man produced plentifully.' And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there will be store all, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.'" It's time for an exchange of plans, isn't it? You look into the future. What if you get all you want? Look at Luke chapter 16. This is something Jesus warned much about, living your life for riches or personal gain. Luke chapter 16, here's a story of judgment, verse 19. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being tormented, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus by his side. And he called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish.'" Again, Jesus was trying to give us a fast forward into the future, into the life of man. What is at the end of the man who receives everything his heart desires? Judgment. He asks the question, what are you willing to exchange for your soul? Look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew 16, Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me," what? "Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his own soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" The question that is begging, that is banging at our heart's door this morning is, what are you willing to trade your time, your toil, your treasure for this morning? What is of greater value than your soul? It's time for an exchange of plans. Psalm 37:4-9 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and then wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way." Don't worry about the man who gets everything his heart desires. or over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord will inherit the land. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Down in verse 13, blessed is the one who finds wisdom, the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than the gain of silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Proverbs 16:3, commit your work to the Lord, and he will establish your plans. James is begging us today to exchange our plans, to trade our plans for the Lord and say, Lord, the fool lives for his own pleasure, his own profit, but we now know what the end is. We want to learn the easy way, not the hard way.